Wow, what a night, hey? It's been so great. It's my privilege and honour to bring you the Word of God tonight. And I've asked my sister to read the scriptures out for me to give my voice a little break as we go along, so we'll just chop and change. As I was praying for you guys, when I was preparing my message, I saw in the Spirit that you are a people who authentically hunger for the presence of God. And I believe that you will be a pillar in your community, a place of refuge and refreshment for others. I saw you, Tim, as a Caleb, and full of faith and passion to pursue the heart of God for your city. And I actually felt led by the Lord to look up the meaning of Caleb, and it says faithful, wholehearted, bold, brave, devoted to God. And meeting you, I was like, wow, that really is you. And I loved it because it also just confirms my message, which I'm speaking about, which is wholehearted devotion to the Lord and being faithful. And I've just realized I don't have my glasses. Can you bring them in my handbag? Thank you. Somehow I'm reading. God has been pressing on my heart the importance of preparation. So I'm going to be speaking to you about getting prepared. Thank you, Mizzy. Oh, that's better. I feel there is a pressing in the Spirit for us to go deeper with Him than we have ever been in matters of the heart, to pursue freedom, to lean into consecration, to make a stand with a renewed commitment to holiness, to have our hearts that are set apart, dedicated and faithful to Jesus, a laying down of our lives, a renewal of a wholehearted devotion to God. This call to consecration and preparation is the pursuing of freedom. It involves inviting God to uncover anything in our hearts that is hidden, to upturn every stone that hinders Christ from being formed in us. There is a beautiful freedom that comes as we yield to the purifying process of the Holy Spirit, the giving up of the old and the receiving of the new, enabling us to live victoriously. If you know me, I love freedom and victory. Bring it on. This freedom will enable us to endure the sifting of the enemy, the trials and the persecution that is yet to come. Like the five wise virgins in Matthew 25, we are to prepare for a long night season. They had enough oil to keep their lamps burning because they had prepared in advance, purchasing extra oil prior to their need for it. I feel the Spirit is exhorting us to intentionally enter into a season of preparation so that our lives, our church, your church will have more than enough oil for yourselves as well as your community for the seasons that are to come. There will be an overflow and an outpouring of oil, okay, as you individually and collectively pursue the Lord. The Lord's desire is that no one would perish or fall away, and that we all together would remain faithful, loyal, steadfast, wholehearted, devoted to Him, unshaken and unwavering in our faith. This city will be marked by the outbreak of the presence of God as you dig deep, as you prepare for His coming, for His glory, as you allow Him to bring freedom and transformation individually and collectively. You will walk in His fullness of joy, and you will not be overcome by the situations around you. You will be faithful, you'll be loyal, you'll be devoted, you'll be steadfast, you'll be unshaken. Holy Spirit, we commit this word to you and we thank you, Father God, that you will breathe afresh in our hearts. Holy Spirit, come and show us what you want to speak, what you want to say, what you want to do in our lives. We want more of you. We want more of you, Holy Spirit. I'm going to be speaking from 1 Peter tonight. And, you know, the Apostle Peter, he was the first preacher to bring the gospel to the Jews in Jerusalem. Having denied Jesus 3 times, 50 days later, he's there at Pentecost preaching and telling them that they had just crucified their Messiah. 3 times he succumbed to the weakness of the flesh and denied Christ. But in Luke 22, we see that Jesus had prophesied beforehand and had given Peter a promise and a commission. He said, "Peter, my dear friend, listen to what I'm about to tell you. Satan," you're meant to read this, Mizzy. Okay, sorry, go. I'm passionate.
"What I'm about to tell you. Satan has obtained permission to come and sift you all my words and test your faith. I have prayed for you, Peter, that you would stay faithful to me no matter what comes. Remember this, after you have turned back to me and have been restored, make it your life mission to strengthen the faith of your brothers."
Wow. So good. These words of Jesus to Peter as his words to us today. As we are being sifted or will be sifted, Jesus is interceding for you that you would stand firm in your faith, that we would encourage one another to stand firm and not deny him in the little ways in our own hearts. Jesus' prayer is that we would remain faithful to him no matter what comes against us. Peter knew what it meant to deny Jesus. He endured many trials and he was persecuted. Let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 1, if you have your Bibles. If not, we're going to read it out for you anyway. What Jesus wrote to the Jews that were scattered across Asia. And they were persecuted, and he wanted to strengthen and encourage them in their faith. I love what the Passion Translation says in introducing Peter as a book. It says, "Everyone needs grace to overcome life's hurdles. For some, they need to overcome a difficult marriage or the frustration of children having wandered away. For others, it may be their limitations and hardships." 1 Peter is the book of strengthening grace and triumphant hope. There is an abundance of hopeful grace found in these verses of the book to set you free. Amen.
1 Peter 1. To God's elect, exiles scattered throughout the provinces of Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through the sanctifying work of the Spirit, to be obedient to Jesus Christ and sprinkled with his blood, grace and peace be yours in abundance.
Peter reminds the believers scattered, who were despised and rejected by others, of their identity in Christ Jesus. He reminds them that they were known by God before the very beginning of the foundations of the earth. Nothing that they were going through has taken God by surprise. He knew from the beginning of time that they were his chosen ones. You are his chosen ones. The comfort is that God is in control, and he reminds them of their covenant relationship with him, made available by the blood of Jesus and the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Peter is saying that every trial can be overcome. Do you believe that? The promise here for us is if we continue to obey the Lord Jesus and remain in him, grace and peace will abound to us. Hallelujah. Let's go.
Verse 3. Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. who in his great mercy he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into the inheritance that can never perish, spoil or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In all this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief, all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with the inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls.
So good. Here we see that Peter's desire is to inspire and encourage believers to persevere and remain faithful to the Lord. How can they do this? Because their identity in Christ is secure. He is the source of their living hope. It's a perfect inheritance of salvation that can never perish, never be defiled, and never diminish. So in other words, no matter what the enemy throws at us, he cannot rob us of our joy of salvation. As we remain in him, in his grace, in his peace, they will abound to us, sustaining us, giving us strength to endure the present moment. We have the assurance that one day we will never have to endure suffering again. When Christ returns, we will receive the fullness of our salvation kept in heaven for us. There is a living hope that we have here and now. Peter encourages the believers that even though they go through trials and they will suffer, there is a cause for inexpressible joy due to their covenant relationship with God, which is safe and secure. Peter goes on to say in verse 7 that these trials have come so that the proven genuineness of their faith of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. He's saying that the trials will bring Jesus glory, honor and praise, and will show our authentic faith. Don't we want to give him glory, honor, and praise for all that he has given us? Wow. Authentic faith is proven when we remain in Christ, in joy, in faith, in our trials. During our mum's journey with cancer, we experienced this very thing. The inexpressible joy and living hope that we had that we would forever be together. And in the present moment of suffering, we got to experience the faithfulness of God, the joy of looking and seeing his constant provision and sustaining strength no matter what we were going through. We saw his faithfulness, we experienced his love, we experienced his grace and his mercy, and that was a joy for us in the midst of our suffering. So discouragement and unbelief are key weapons that the enemy can use against us in these times. When we focus on other things rather than on Christ, we can give our joy and our peace away. And as we found in a family, that when we actively sought to look for the goodness of God towards us, we were then able to partake of joy and peace and strength in the midst of it. I love the Passion Translation. In verse 5, Peter says, through our faith, the mighty power of God constantly guards us. Faith is the key here. The promise of God is that when we remain in faith and we're surrendered to him, his mighty power, the power of the living God, guards and protects our hearts when we partner with him and keeps us from falling away. He enables us to persevere and put our faith and our trust in Him, to be free from the traps of the enemy. Remaining in faith enables us to remain in joy and peace and not to be defeated by sorrow or anger, unforgiveness, bitterness, all of those things. We have a mighty resurrection power of God that breaks us free from all these things if we submit our lives and we just remain in Him. I had a dream earlier this year, and it speaks to what Peter is saying here. I won't tell you the dream, but I'll just give you the core message of what God was saying. God's desire for His people is that they'd be able to stand in the midst of trials with unwavering faith, remaining loyal to Him, that our faith would be authentic and genuine and not a form of godliness, no mixture, not lip service. Authentic faith. He wants to lead us to the hidden places of our heart so He can talk to us privately, to reveal its condition and to purify our hearts. God wants to produce a loyalty and a faithfulness within us that can withstand all the schemes of the enemy, that we will not be easily distracted, not enter into entrapment in any way, not fall into discouragement or bitterness. His desire is that we would not compromise or partner with the things of the flesh, but we would yield to the purifying process as He uncovers what is hidden in our hearts. We can't repent of what we don't know is in there, hey? We can't be healed of what we don't know is broken or hurt. God is inviting His body to get ready, to be prepared, to be able to stand in maturity of faith, unshakable through the sifting, holy, free and pleasing to Him, so that when the enemy comes to destroy us, he finds nothing in us that he can use against us, because we are free. We've gained victory in it. This is the power of freedom. When I've surrendered my pain, my anger, my hurt, my bitterness, injustice, and I've been set free from it, then Satan can't use those things against me because I'm free. Come on! I believe that the message in 1 Peter is to cause us to become emboldened to persevere, empowered to overcome, and encouraged to remain faithful to Jesus. The love and grace of the Lord Jesus, which restored Peter, is available for us today. The pressing of the Spirit is for us to prepare our hearts for the return of Jesus, to become truly set apart in our hearts, holy and obedient, dedicated to Him. So that like the five wise virgins who had prepared in advance, we will be able to endure the night season. So that when He finally comes, we get to go with Him. The Lord is calling us to purification, to lay down our lives so that He can purge everything that hinders us from being formed into the true fullness image of Christ. Let's look at verse 13 onwards. Mizzy, can you read it, where Peter releases a call to holiness?
Stay alert and fix your hope firmly on the marvelous grace that is coming to you. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance, but just as He who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, "Be holy because I am holy." Through Him you believe in God, who raised Him from the dead and glorified Him, so your faith and hope are in God. Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have a sincere love for each other, love one another deeply from the heart.
Peter shows us here that there is a partnership of belief, faith and obedience. We know that the Israelites failed to enter into the promised land because of their unbelief. Therefore, what we believe actually matters and will determine the outcome of our lives.
We know that without faith we cannot please God, and it's only through faith that the power of the Holy Spirit is released to transform us and empower us. And the Word of God clearly tells us that those who obey God are the ones who love God. Peter is saying, stay alert. And in chapter 5, he goes on to explain that the devil is prowling like a lion. And if you guys are awake, you will know that he is vicious at the moment, trying to take people down. He's looking for someone to devour. He's looking for those weak in faith or distracted by your circumstances or discouraged in belief. He's looking for our weaknesses in obedience. Any area where we fall easily into temptation. He is prowling like a lion, and we need to be vigilant in guarding our hearts and helping each other, encouraging each other, walking together, strengthening each other in our faith to fix our hope and our eyes on Jesus so that we will not fall, that we will remain faithful and loyal. Verse 22, Peter says, now, because of your obedience to the truth, you have purified your very souls, and this empowers you to be full of love for your fellow believers. So express this sincere love toward one another passionately and with a pure heart.
What Peter is saying here is that as we yield our hearts in obedience to the truth, we are purified. Be alert. Put off the old. Put on the new. Resist the old ways of believing, thinking, and obey the Word of God and pursue His ways. The Holy Spirit will do the work in us as we have faith and belief and obey Him. The evidence of this taking place is our love for one another. Husbands and wives, I ask you with humility and with the directness coming from the love of God and as a sister in Christ. How is this love for one another evidenced in your relationship? Is there love and connection, or is there selfishness and strife? Is the Lordship of Christ a visible overflow in your homes? Are you willing to yield your hearts in love and humility towards one another? Or are you standing unyielding upon your ways, your ideas, your desires, your opinions? Is there evidence of a dying to self, a laying down of your life, of humility, of preferring one another? Are you fighting for love and connection, or are you fighting each other? Things started to change in my marriage as I stopped trying to fix and change my husband. I decided to instead let the Holy Spirit work on changing me. Over many, many years, I have learned to die to self, to prefer my husband, to seek the low road of humility and selflessness. I've learned to surrender to trusting God in prayer, rather than trying to control and manipulate and fix my husband. I realized that in order for our relationship to flourish, I needed to become all that God wanted me to be. I had to learn to be consistent in living in the fruits of the Spirit rather than reacting in anger or isolation. I had to be consistent in who I am in Him. I had to learn to defeat the lies of the enemy and to correct my belief system so that I could be free. I found freedom from the wounds and lies of rejection, from insecurity and doubt, from fear of being wrong and the need to be right. I found freedom from the need to be understood and valued, and found freedom to be a blessing and not a curse. Freedom comes when we allow God to meet all of our needs within us. When I am complete in Jesus, I am free from manipulative ways, from fear, from rejection, from offense, from anger. Those things just fall away when I'm complete in Christ, in me. He's my all. He's my everything. He is enough. then I'm free to be consistently love, grace, kindness, mercy, goodness, taking the low road. When we choose to partner with faith and belief and obedience, we are able to experience the freedom of joy and love and victory in our lives. We take Satan's weapons against us out of his hands and we stand upon them in victory through the mighty power of God. We stand on them. Are you single here? The Lord is calling you to that same place of character and heart in your life and your relationships. Where do you receive your value and your worth from? Where does your security lie? What dictates how you see the future? Faith or fear? We know that if we're not in faith, then we're in fear. Do you trust that God is who he says he is and is able to keep you in him with great joy and peace? I got married 2 weeks before my 39th birthday. I was single until that point, nearly 40 years of my life as a single person. I learnt to surrender the humiliation of being single year after year after year to the Lord. I learnt to find joy and hope in my singleness, and rather than being bound and oppressed by singleness, which is very easy, I was able to overcome. It's a conscious decision that we make to be alert, to guard our heart, to remain in faith and belief and obedience, and his grace will abound to you. We are to go through these trials, keeping our eyes fixed on Jesus, because he is our living hope, he is our joy, he is our strength, he is our provider. He remains faithful in every circumstance. If we lean into prayer and we humble ourselves before him and deny the enemy any power and victory over us, we will walk in joy and freedom and peace. So how do we overcome? By remaining our eyes fixed on Jesus, our living hope, by remaining in faith and belief. The process of preparation is inviting God to deal with the condition of our hearts, inviting him to reveal those painful, hurt, ugly parts that need healing, correction, redeeming, inviting him to uncover what's hidden in our hearts, knowing that his grace and peace will abound to us. As we look to him, we are filled with hopeful, joyful expectation that he is going to accomplish it in us by his Holy Spirit. Whoop! Come on! When we look to him, the things that seem impossible to change within us become possible. It's not by might, it's not by power, it's not striving, it's only by his Spirit. So good. And so while there's importance of recognizing when we've missed the mark, when we need to repent, where we've failed, there is this expectation of joy that we will overcome, that we will walk in victory. We need to look at these areas of our lives and pursue freedom. You know, we thirst and hunger after righteousness, but let us thirst and hunger for freedom. You know, to be transformed into the image of Christ. God's recently been challenging me about an intolerance to people getting things wrong and stuffing things up. And so that's my little area that he's working on at me in the moment. And two weeks ago, I get a call. I've just dropped my kids off to school and I get a call from the school and it's my son. And, Mom, I've left my shoes in the car. I'm like, oh, Holy Spirit's like, Jules, you've got an intolerance to people getting things wrong. I'm like, yes, Holy Spirit. I know, Holy Spirit, love and grace. Love and grace. Yep, yep, love and grace. There they are. So I blew it and I'm repenting. I'm like, Lord, sorry, I got angry and I was frustrated in my response. But then I just started going, thank you, Jesus. The victory is yours. I thank you that you're setting me free. I didn't get condemned and overcome by my failure in the moment. I'm like, thank you, Jesus. I give you praise and glory and honor because you're setting me free. You've highlighted this area. I'm going to partner with you, and I thank you that it's by your Spirit that you're going to remove this from me so that I can be free to be able to let anyone stuff up around me. And there's grace and mercy and peace. And it's not frustration or anger or, you know. It's always those closest to us who get the ugly parts of us, real, authentic parts of us. This deeper consecration thing, it's like, you know, most of us have already dealt with all the big things in our lives. And it's now coming to that sword edge of the Spirit, you know, like the knife edge of soul and spirit, the tiny little matters of the heart that may not really be a sin or whatever, but it's not cool. It's of the flesh and it's not of the spirit. And it's the fine, you know, it's this little, this consecration, this preparation thing. It's don't let any tiny little thing remain unworked in by the Spirit. We need to give every little bit to Him because we want to be so clean, you know? He wants vessels that are so clean and pure that under His glory, what comes out is Christ, not self. Don't we all want this to be used by Him, to be carriers of His glory, to reflect who He is and not who we are in the flesh? God wants a people He can trust to carry His glory. He will not pervert it or tarnish it or use it for selfish ambition because all those things have already been removed out of us. He wants people who are faithful and loyal to Him, who are willing to lay down their lives that He might be glorified and not take the glory for themselves. How does that happen? We start first with our hearts and our homes. How do we treat those close to us? How much are we willing to lay down our lives and our desires and our frustrations so that the love of God can truly be displayed in our lives, not as an act but authentic faith, having been purified through the work of obedience? May we be emboldened to persevere, empowered to overcome, and encouraged to remain faithful to Jesus. I love that. May His grace and peace rest with you. May we be a people who pursue a deep communion with the Lord, that we may enter into His overcoming grace, that no matter what we face, no matter what we're passing through in life or in the days to come, that we will remain strong and firm and victorious and joyful and full of peace and still able to give and have an overflow of His presence because we're not overcome, but we're overcomers. We can only do that when we surrender in faith and belief and keep our eyes fixed on Him, our solid rock and our foundation. I just want to leave with you the very first verse in 1 Peter. It says, to God's elect, you are His God, you are God's elect, His chosen ones. You have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through His sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit to obedience to Jesus Christ, sprinkled with His blood. His grace and peace is yours in abundance. Just want you to take a little bit of time now, just in silence, just in communion with the Lord, and just let the Holy Spirit speak to you and perhaps highlight a little area that might be hidden in your heart. Any hurt, any pain, injustice, any reluctance you might have to let Him work in a certain area. Just allow faith and belief to fill your hearts and just make that conscious choice to partner with faith and belief that He can do a mighty work in you, that you might walk in victory and you might walk in freedom.
because his mighty power, the resurrection power of the living God, is for you, to set you free, to heal you.